RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Red Pill 78. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this is another edition of Red Pill News for Saturday Night Live Stream. Joining me in the studio tonight, we have another based medical professional, Dr. Lynn Lafferty. She is a doctor of pharmacy, diplomate from the American Clinical Board of Nutrition. She's also a naturopathic doctor, a master herbalist, and a chef. She's also an endowed professor at Nova Southeastern University. And Dr. Lynn Lafferty is going to be here talking to us tonight about breaking away from the pharmaceutical industrial complex. I have thought for a long time, we've talked about this a number of occasions on the show, people are sicker than ever before. And rather than having them heal themselves from the inside out, a holistic approach, too many medical professionals just default to pharmaceuticals. And I think there's obviously a big cost component there. Just speaking with somebody else also recently, another big problem is the hospital systems. And when we have independent medical professionals who are also looking at more than just allopathic medicine, I think that you are going to find yourself in a much better position. And Dr. Lynn is even teaching other people on how to do this stuff themselves. So do me a favor, hit the like button, help us out by sharing the show. Sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back after this. Just like groceries, gas, and food, our energy bills are expected to keep hitting record highs in the coming months, too. You see, these power bills have gotten so expensive for the average American that a record number, 20 million households, are now behind on their power bills. And some power companies have a shocking $13 million in uncollected bills because the average American household simply cannot afford the rising costs of electricity in Joe Biden's America. And the greedy power companies, well, they're not showing any signs of lowering costs either. Which is why I have been lowering my energy bills thanks to this amazing little device that I absolutely love. I want to slash my power bills. I want to beat the greedy energy companies. I want to show Joe Biden that he's not going to break me. And I want to keep more money in my pocket every single month. This little gadget that plugs into the wall outlet is designed to stop your home from wasting unnecessary electricity, reducing your home's energy usage, extending the lifespan of appliances, ensuring a consistent and safe flow of electricity to your home, and so much more. Be sure to use my link in the description below to get a 60-day risk-free trial. Also, you're going to get 65% off and free shipping. It's included completely complimentary with every single purchase. There are many other free bonuses, but you got to get in there and get them before they sell out. So go to the link in the description below this video. Don'tWastePower.com. Once again, that's Don'tWastePower.com. It's for my subscribers exclusively. Don'tWastePower.com. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, we are back. Thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out with us tonight. And please join me in welcoming our guest for this evening, Dr. Lynn Lafferty. Lynn, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Zach, for having me on. I really love your show.
Awesome. I'm so pleased that you do, because obviously I really strive to bring people good information. And I'm really happy to have you here tonight, because as I was kind of mentioning in the introduction, there is so much mistrust in the medical community right now. You know, I was mentioning that there seems to be this cost component to the way that people are treated. I had personal experience with a doctor many years ago. She ended up losing her license because she was just prescribing opiates and what are the anxiety meds, a bunch of stuff she was just prescribing to people, and people died, you know. But come to find out, she was getting kickbacks from I think it was probably Purdue now that I think about it. You know, they were buying her trips. They were buying her vacations. And nowadays, although that may not be happening, one of the big problems that we have is because doctors will be part of these large like health organizations. And so they have the mandates which are coming from the administration. They have mandates that are coming from the insurance. And if a doctor says, hey, you know, I want to focus on, you know, nutrition first, or I want to focus on maybe, you know, looking into herbal remedies or natural remedies, those companies that are running things, they're going to say, well, you know what? You know, we really want to make sure that we're getting as much out of this patient as possible. So if you wouldn't mind, why don't you just prescribe them some painkillers or prescribe them some anti-anxieties, prescribe them Prozac or Paxil or whatever it might be. And I just feel like that's one of the reasons why people are just so distrustful. And then, obviously, you know, the pandemic and pushing the jab on people. I mean, all of these things together, it's kind of created a perfect storm.
Well, you're right. It used to be more like that, but they now have a cheaper way of doing things, and that's called don't teach doctors anything. So I show my book. I don't have it. I wish I did because I'm on a thing, but I have books that are 1500 pages, and one was called Medical Physiology. So would you like your doctor to know how the body works? Do you
Absolutely.
Think that would be a good idea? Well, it was a good idea when I went to school in 1978, 1980, but why would a doctor need to know that? So they took that out of the curriculum about 12 years ago. Then biochemistry. Your biochemistry runs everything. That book was probably 2,000 pages, and we took that for 2 years. And why would a doctor need to know anything about chemical or the reactions in the body? They took that out.
Wow.
This year, well, they did. So I have in my office, because I teach at the University Medical and Pharmacy Schools, I have a physician desk reference from 1978. Mm-hmm. I show it to the students because sometimes the doctors will call me crazy. I have a clinic and we in the pharmacy, they carry all the products I want and everything. But the fact is, in 1978, about 8 to 12 pharmaceutical companies actually made digestive enzymes. Why? Because there was 100 studies going back to the 30s that show by the time you're 50, you've lost about half of your stomach acid. And by the time you're 80, about 80% of the people are what we call achlorohydria, where they have no stomach acid.
Wow.
So what doesn't it make sense to give back your digestive enzymes? Mm. And also for cholesterol, we use bile acids. And I started to actually write a research paper on bile acids. And I got so upset because there were so many studies back in the 80s that said that if you gave bile acids to people that had gallstones, you didn't have to have a cholecystectomy, get the gallbladder taken out. And the gallbladder is so important in so many different ways. So when you lost your gallbladder, it was standard of care for a doctor to write a prescription for bile salts. Lilly Pharmaceuticals actually made about 30 different prescription vitamins. And the base of all of those vitamins were cow liver because the animals make the exact same product that we need in our body. When you buy a chemical vitamin or even one that comes from plants, you're not getting exactly the vitamin that our body uses. And so they used to have, and I find the animal tissue vitamins far superior than the other vitamins.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And so, That was done. There was a product called Rutin that Harvard studied. It prevented heart attacks. If you had a heart attack and you took it in the ER, you know, you didn't have any scar tissue or whatever. They took that off the market. So, and the average prescription in 1982 was actually like $2 or $3. So they didn't make all the money that they're making now. And the man who brought me into the medical school was a very brilliant old pharmacist that also was very politically powerful. He's 89 now. He's chancellor emeritus. He was the chancellor. He said, I want you to teach the doctors and pharmacists these things. He said, you're the only person I think that could maybe do it. And of course, did I get pushback? Well, I had one professor hit me in the face.
What?
I had the dean of, at the medical school, the assistant dean over faculty call me in and he goes, well, you're at it again. I go, what? And he said, I got two complaints from the medical science department. I said, oh, you mean the fact that yesterday in this wellness seminar, it just popped out of my mouth. I said that Lipitor caused diabetes because that one of the doctors who had a MD, PhD, JD, MS, 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 all, every, you know, degree you can imagine. You're supposed to take Lipitor if you have diabetes. And he starts screaming. And I said, let me show you the evidence. And so I said to the dean of faculty, I said, that was in the Annals of Internal Medicine, May 2002. And there's a big black box warning in the package insert.
Right.
I said, how about this? How about the fact I actually know what I'm talking about and that they haven't read a medical journal in 30 years. And that's very scary. And that, you know, and plus I had told that PhD that I would send him the information. And I did the first thing the next morning, I sent it to him, but they went and they complained. And then the dean told the chancellor, the doctors were all upset because I'm taking all their patients off their medication.
Oh my God. See, it is about money. That's the crazy thing. And all of those things that you mentioned there, I mean, those are like products that are based in nature, right? And from what I understand, pharmaceutical companies may be able to make those things, but they can't patent them if they're based on something natural.
Like there were several companies that made bile salts. It wasn't just Lilly. There were several companies, but it's not quite like that. I would say it's about programming the doctors, really brainwashing.
Certainly.
And keeping all the basic science away from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I walked in at University of Georgia to pharmacy school, they said, a third of you'll flunk out. And we're like, we have 3.7 averages in physics and calculus. How much harder can it be, right? But it was true. My physiology professor flunked a third of the students out. My one roommate flunked out. Well, there were three of us, and she flunked out three times. She never did get her pharmacy degree because of it. But she taught us that the body was totally logical. And I was telling what we call a functional cardiologist. I have to find people that understand that, you know, magnesium's like a miracle for arrhythmias, because they're teaching in the school to the doctors that it's dangerous to give magnesium. And a matter of fact, when I was my brother's cardiologist, who was young, but he went to Harvard and Yale and to Columbia Presbyterian, he was a nice guy. He wasn't arrogant, though. I know he thought, well, you're at this crummy medical school, what do you know? But I asked him, I said, my brother had bradycardia. I said, I'm pretty sure he's magnesium deficient. Will you pull a lab? No, that's got nothing to do with it. I go, okay, let me get this straight. You're an electrophysiologist, cardiologist, and you're all Ivy League educated, and nobody taught you sodium, potassium, calcium and magnesium going through those channels caused the electrical current in the heart. No one taught you that. And he said, of course they did, but it has nothing to do with it. Well, my brother coded at 38 beats a minute in bradycardia. So they put him in the ICU and they pulled a magnesium lab, and he was totally in the toilet on that. And it was so low. Mm-hmm. And within 10 minutes of him getting a bag of magnesium sulfate, his blood pressure and heart rate were normal.
Wow.
So I kept having to give him magnesium shakes every day, and it was getting old. And I finally found the cardiologist, because when I asked the internal medicine in the hospital, oh, no, we're not allowed to touch the magnesium. And so I went back to the cardiologist and I said, you know, now we know First of all, my brother's on a proton pump inhibitor, which makes you totally deficient in magnesium, calcium, iron, B12. Mm-hmm. I said, now that we know my brother's magnesium deficient, will you please prescribe, 500 milligrams a day or whatever? He said, no, you only give it when the QR wave is short. And I go, who? The H is telling you this stuff. I said, this is crazy. So I went to one of my friends who's my age. I'm 65. And I asked him, do you ever give magnesium? He's like, all the time, especially to pregnant women that have arrhythmia. And I said, have you ever heard in your life you only give it when the QR wave is shortened? And he said, no. And then my boss at the time, who's a brilliant, she's in her 70s, and she used to be a pathologist. And she said, Lynn, when I was on cardiology rounds, when I was doing my residency, we used to actually carry mag sulfate syringes because it's like the miracle for the heart. And when I told her, they were like blown away. And she was also blown away when I told her. I said, they don't teach medical physiology. Oh, Lynn, of course they do. I go, let's go look at the curriculum. There's no biochemistry. There's no physiology. They used to teach a year of pharmacology, and we didn't ever think the drugs, most of the drugs came from natural sources, even like digitalis and stuff that were poisons. They were such a low dose. They were really like a homeopathic dose of them. And so we never worried about people. I never knew anybody that died from a drug. And so anyway, I said, they only teach now 6 weeks of what they call pharmacology, which really isn't pharmacology. It should be called shut the front door. This is what big pharma tells you to give, because it's like, okay, you have a strep throat, give amoxicillin with Plavonate. If that doesn't work, give a Z-Pak. That's all they learn about drugs. And the students are coming to me, Dr. Lafferty, please teach us something. We don't know anything. And everybody just knows the same thing. And the other thing that was so bothersome. So going back to one thing about the physiology professor, because she made me really good at what I do. Mm-hmm. She really taught me how the body is programmed. And it's really, there's a hierarchy and a consciousness that the body itself has. But I have to look for special doctors, medical doctors for my patients. And I found a very good functional cardiologist, and he's at the top cardiology hospital as a hospitalist on the weekend. And I told him, I said, my physiology professor, when I was 20, had a question on her exam, like, if you have Addison, which means very low adrenal output, low cortisol, low epinephrine, norepinephrine, what happens to the QRS wave in the heart? And he goes, you were asked that question? He goes, I don't know one cardiologist that could answer that. I said, I don't even know if I got it right. But what I do know, that 95% of heart disease does not have to do with your heart. It has everything to do with the adrenal gland. And he goes, yeah, you're right. So that's the way we were taught. And then I remember we were on rounds with the medical students and pharmacy students, we were treated the same. And they had a patient, and it was the first pancreatic cancer patient they'd ever had. This was at Medical College of Georgia in Augusta, their hospital. And they said, oh my gosh, we've never seen a case of this. Okay, you students, go to the medical library. And back then we didn't have a computer, so you actually had to bring the journal. Bring a journal and show us what's the latest and the greatest in pancreatic cancer. How can we help this man, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's how I was trained. And I was telling people, I was speaking this afternoon at a conference, that when you come for a visit with us, especially if it's something way outside the box, we go through we call them the medical literature left and right, and we find so many miracles for people. I mean, not really miracles. I mean, it's just that they work,
right?
In cases. So we call ourselves, investigators. Just one last point is that I was teaching about 100 medical students and pharmacy students that are like in the integrative club, the Ancient Medicine Club, or I don't know what they call it, but there's like three different clubs that are outside the box like that, trying to learn some of these things. And I asked them, how many of you, when you heard COVID, went to the medical library and tried to find something that might help you? And not one of them raised their hand. And they don't have journal club anymore. They've taken that out because why would we want a doctor to look at anything in the medical journals? We've got Dr. Fauci that will tell us what we need to know.
Yes.
Or not. Or not.
So let me get this straight then. So doctors today are just ignorant. But at the same time, they are given godlike status and told that they are the end all be all of medical information. They are the science, as Dr. Anthony Fauci said. And the information has been essentially withheld from them. Am I right in assuming that that is by the pharmaceutical companies? Because, I mean, it's the pharma companies that are probably funding these big medical schools. And so, like, it's in their best interest to teach these doctors to default to those, you know, to statins, et cetera, you know, all these drugs that they want people to take. You know, I mean,
it's really a religion. It really is, because the bottom line is, you know, if you don't get your cholesterol to 200 in your patients, they're going to die because of you. And okay, they went, if you said, oh, what about bile salts? They would say, Lynn, are you nuts? What's bile salt going to help me? They don't have any clue about any of it. And see, that's the other thing that's very frustrating for them. I don't know now, but I imagine it's even higher because the dean of the medical school right before COVID, he's not there anymore, but he was talking about that it's the highest rate of physician suicide. So can you imagine if you are only given, when you've got a GI issue, the only thing you have to choose from is a proton pump inhibitor, which are horrible. And it says even in their package insert, you should only be on it for 4 to 8 weeks, unless you have Barrett's esophagitis, which nobody, very few people have. But anyway, it's 4 to 8 weeks. And because they don't have anything else, or they don't know how to take them off it, they can't help these people. So they come in and your people are complaining, well, that didn't help me. Okay, let me switch you to another one, proton pump. That didn't help me. My stomach's still burning. Well, you know what? You need to go see a psychiatrist. If you're a woman, at least, you're nuts. Go see a psychiatrist. I haven't had a man tell me that, but I've had several of my female patients have been told by male doctors to go see a psychiatrist before.
So, Dr. Lafferty, what about, I've heard from a couple of different sources that the idea of high cholesterol isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, obviously you get to a certain point and your body's completely out of whack. That's not good. But when they put people on cholesterol medication, you've got like good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. And from what I understand, these medications, they don't really distinguish between the good and the bad. I mean, it just lowers your cholesterol, and they use that as a baseline and say, well, you got to have this number. Like, I just got a blood panel done. I want to tell you what I have. My total cholesterol is 279. My HDL is 44. Triglycerides are 180. And LDL is 200. Now, I basically eat a carnivore diet. Okay. So I'm eating red meat a couple of times a day, every single day. And I've never felt better in my entire life. And so, thinking about those results, I mean, I think my doctor, he already mentioned one time before that he wanted me to get on a statin, Lipitor or something like that. But I'm not interested in it. And I don't feel like I'm in a bad way. And I take magnesium every day, by the way.
Okay, so I can't really comment because you said at the beginning, this is not medical advice.
I know.
But let me lead you as your own investigator. I'll just give
you
some facts.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
First of all, we didn't even look at cholesterol until it was 270. Every person, there was a panel that decided the 200 number. Mm-hmm. And every person on that panel, it was at the NIH, Accident, I guess by accident, they all had taken money at one time or another from Pfizer.
Oh, what are the chances?
So one day I had a patient, a student who was very bright. She was an older woman and she was from Eastern Europe. And she goes, "I don't like the way you will talk about Lipitor and cholesterol to your patients." I go, "Okay, well, it's Friday morning. You're going to leave and you're going to go to the medical library and you're going to prove me wrong and you're going to show me why I'm wrong and then I'll change. How's that?" "Oh, I will." So she walks out the door. She calls me 4 hours later. She goes, "Dr. Lafferty, I don't understand." I go, "What?" She goes, "Well, in the book, they say high cholesterol is correlated to heart disease, but the study that they quote, that they're referencing, it doesn't say that." I go, "Right." I go, she goes, "What should I do?" I said, "You go to Framingham, the largest study in the history of the world. It's been going on since 1948, I think. And go read at that time, this was about 12 or 15 years ago, go read the chief of cardiology at Yale because he was the head of Framingham for a few years. And he was writing articles about how women with 230 to 260 cholesterol actually have fewer heart attacks and stroke than lower cholesterol.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason our blood pressure goes up, and there's a reason why our cholesterol goes up when we get older. You know, we don't look at this the right way. We look at cholesterol bad. It can get stuck in your blood. Okay. What we should be looking at is how come Lynn Lafferty, you know, I just had a scan for calcium. I had no calcium in my heart whatsoever, or which is a sign of inflammation. So why does Lynn Lafferty have zero and maybe patient B over here, who's even 10 years younger, has all this calcium and cholesterol blocking their blood vessels? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. What they're doing is just so simpleton thinking that it's not thinking whatsoever. It's just programming cholesterol bad and we need to get rid of it. That's what it is. There isn't any thinking. Now I notice sometimes, like when I speak on these things, I don't know if it's AI or whatever, these studies will disappear. I notice they suddenly have some studies that show, oh, it does have a correlation with heart attack. I just was looking at that like 2 months ago. Now, since 1948 to 2015, the evidence was didn't ever say that, but all of a sudden, because you can have a study show whatever you want.
Oh, they're so easy to
You
fake.
know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's no way around it, and you can't deny it. But I mean, clearly, when they point to a study and they say, "Well, look at the results we got," obviously you have to trust us because we're professionals. People nowadays
They
are
don't
just
even
not accepting that.
do that. You know
No, they
what? They don't treat the doctors well anymore. They
don't.
don't take them on trips. They don't even point to any study. They just say, "Here's what you have to do." We already paid off them, probably the medical association, and they're over the medical education, and we're going to make you now humanism. That's important.
Wild.
You don't, physiology, not so much. That's not that important.
It is shocking to me to think. I mean, I hadn't considered that they had changed the education doctors were receiving to that degree.
It's
Like,
horrible.
I
It's
mean,
ridiculous. It's ridiculous is what it really is.
it really is. I mean, and I totally believe it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, you know, because I've heard so many ignorant takes from doctors who were just, you know, trust the science. I mean, you know, whether it's about the vaccines or any other aspect of it. I mean, they default, and you're right, it is like a cookie cutter approach. But every single person is different. And I would imagine that there are many different factors that go into somebody's physiology and their actual physical makeup. I mean, you know, your like, nutrition is a huge thing, and I feel like there is absolutely zero attention that is paid to that nowadays.
They
And
get
if
1 hour. They get
you,
1 hour.
yes.
And I have a nutrition course for, well, I put in six nutrition courses for, we had in the medical school, a master's in nutrition, functional nutrition, and a few medical students would take that. Then I probably get, I have an herbal medicine course, their fourth year. It's an elective. I probably get 60, 50 or 60. And in the pharmacy school, I get, most people get 30. I get like 70 people and they're always asking me, will you open another spot or open another spot in nutrition? It's called nutrition and wellness and pharmacy practice. So nutrition is so important, but you know what? You need to know biochemistry, and they've taken out the biochemistry. And I don't even know if the biochemistry is even a prereq. They'll say to the, you know, when I went to the dean of the medical school, why in the world would you take out medical physiology? Well, they give physiology in undergrad. I can guarantee you, if people who are getting A's in physics and calculus can't pass a medical physiology course, they're not getting that type of medical physiology that's really teaching right. you to think and really know how the body works.
Yeah, that's vital. I mean, not a medical professional,
my doctor,
but I can
when
tell.
I was a, I'm sorry. My doctor, when I was a kid, graduated in 1897, had Sigmund Freud as a professor at University of Vienna. And when we got sick, he'd give us licorice tablets and adrenal shots because the adrenal gland plays the biggest role in the immune system. That was with the budesonide, that mm-hmm. it's from the structure of your cortisol, all those, you know, prednisones and zone drugs, those mm-hmm. type of drugs, budesonide is like that. And he knew that the adrenal glands just really was the thing that needed to be boosted when you are really sick. And also licorice, you know, killed COVID, the plant, not the candy. Mm-hmm. And it kills a lot of viruses. It kills H. pylori and other things too.
Are these like the fisherman's friends lozenges? Like, I mean, that kind of thing? Cause I mean, or like Ricola, you know, it's got all the different herbs and stuff in it. It's just like a natural thing. I mean, that's what we would take when we were a kid. My mom yeah. was like an old school hippie. So, I mean, like everything that we did was like, you know, naturopathic and, we didn't really go to the doctor, if I can be honest, because, you know, it was just both my parents were self-employed. And so like we did a lot of like, you know, healing yourself with a lot of different natural remedies. But yes. Okay. Well, listen, so this is vital. As we've said, you're teaching medical professionals about this stuff. There are fewer and fewer of them who seem to be interested or are able to grasp and comprehend what it is you're talking about. So I think it's even more vital that you're actually teaching regular people so that they can do this stuff themselves. I've actually got your website pulled up here. And it's drlynnlafferty.com. The link is in the description. Can you tell us a little bit about the classes that you offer to regular people? I mean, what's the structure and how many different types of things are you offering?
Well, I have a free course on there. One of my grandmothers had a 150-acre organic farm. We didn't call it organic back then. It just was.
It's just a farm.
It just was. And she never took a drug, and she was a master at herbal medicine. And anyway, I remember her taking me down by her trees in where her creek bed was, and said that this was elderberry, and that the elderberry had cured 20 people who had, she didn't call it the Spanish flu, but it was the Spanish flu, and that our family never got it. And so early on with COVID, what I did was I went to the medical literature, and there was actually a nursing home in Louisiana that had broken out with coronavirus SARS, the Middle Eastern edition, and which actually ended up being, that's more virulent actually and deadly than what COVID-19 was. And they used elderberry extracted in alcohol for those patients. And in 5 days, it was gone, and nobody died, and no one went to the hospital. So when I saw that, I had the extraction of that. And one of my patients, And also, I had gotten all the studies early on zinc and vitamin D. I knew how important vitamin D was because I always tell people it's like a Teflon coating for your nose. And, you know, they have nasal sprays of zinc and those are pretty effective because it doesn't let the virus in and then the different ways. So I pulled up about 50 studies on zinc and vitamin D early on and a little bit on vitamin C. So my first webinar was with a very good friend of mine, and she's in the book 100 Best Doctors in America, and she learned all this stuff from me. She sent me a lot of patients. She's internal medicine, and she and I put a webinar, and it's free on my thing, and it's a very good webinar because we went and we found that they knew erythromycin, for instance. They've known for 25 years or whatever in the studies. I mean, we just never thought it'd kill about every virus, you know? So there's, that is a really good webinar. It's free. Then I have another free webinar and it's with an osteopathic doctor and she's amazing. She's one of the best osteopathic doctors. And today I had a question at this other seminar about trigeminal problems and the osteopaths they learn everything an MD does, but they also actually go into the body and hopefully they're still taking anatomy because they took anatomy this year out of the medical school. Why would anybody need to know what the body will look like or something?
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's what made me start these courses. I just wanted people to know that there were things in your house that could kill COVID and explain and show you the studies. So I started a course called Become Your Own Health Investigator. And that course is 20 weeks long. It's about 2 hours each course. You ask questions at the end. And then in between, I have a session where you can just bring cases. And we actually go online with some of your questions and say, okay, let me show you how to look this up in the medical library. And let's talk about what the study says so you understand, you know, what it's saying. So you can go on and be your own health investigator. We go through food is medicine. Your stomach is the key to health. That is so important. Your stomach is, you know, most of your immune system's in your GI tract. So your stomach is the strongest barrier you have to kill. You know, everybody's talking about parasites, but if you had a pH of 2 in your stomach, believe me, a parasite, worm, those bacteria, they cannot survive. And then go through all the GI, because one of the other things that's the big keyword today in medicine is autoimmune, which what it means is I was taught there's no way, we don't know what causes it. So just take these drugs that cost between $1,000 and $10,000 a month. And then, oh, don't look at the black box warning because it says it causes cancers, different cancers and sudden death and all those things. And that is all wrong. The first lesson I do with the students, I have them go to Harvard. We look up rheumatoid arthritis. It says we have no idea what causes it. Well, Harvard, I'm here to tell you, go to the medical library. Put in gut bacteria and rheumatoid arthritis. And the articles, there's 350 in there that'll tell you the etiology, which means the cause of rheumatoid arthritis, it's your gut bacteria.
Wow.
Yeah. And my pathologist boss told me, she said, Lynn, we used to do punch biopsies on our nodules, the nodules back in the 70s. We could do some cool stuff. She said, there's all sorts of bacteria rolling around there and crystals of calcium. And, you know, what they want you to believe, the other reason I got my job, there was a girl since she was 2, she'd gotten diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, had bleeding ulcers from prednisone at age 10, had a grapefruit sized tumor in her knee from Humira and methotrexate at age 17, her wrist and her shoulder had fused together. When she came to see me, she could hardly walk and her knees were swollen, her ankles, acne. I changed her diet and treated the GI, gave her natural anti-inflammatories. She went to Nova, where I teach now, And they go, what happened to you? She goes, oh, I don't have rheumatoid arthritis anymore. I can do jumping jacks. They're like, what? Oh,
wow.
And so what they want us to believe, and doctors to believe, that one day when she was two, her body got up and said, yeah, you know what? I decided I don't like my joints. I think I'll just attack them for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Doesn't make any sense. No, no. Wow.
It's major gaslighting.
That is totally major gaslighting. Lynn, did you get kicked off of YouTube for talking about this stuff?
I never went on YouTube.
You never went on YouTube. Okay.
I show you nice recipes on YouTube that you can, like, you can make ginger juice and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Because somebody in the chat, I thought, said that you had gotten kicked off of YouTube, and I just wanted to make sure that the audience
maybe
knew.
Some of my – there was one video that got – okay. I keep putting it back on, but they keep kicking it off. But they don't kick me off. They just get rid of the video somehow.
Well, somehow I'm not surprised. Well, let's see. We've got a couple of comments here from the audience. Freight Awakening says, sorry I'm late. I was putting up my World War III decorations. Yeah, that's right, guys. It looks like World War III just broke out between Iran and Israel. He says, great guest, Zach. Hit the thumbs up. Yes, please hit the thumbs up. Yeah. If you're not a communist, please hit the thumbs up. Freight Awakening says, great info, Dr. Lafferty. I am on 3 different blood pressure meds, and I've been told that if I were to quit taking them cold turkey, I'm going to have major issues. My girlfriend has lots of anecdotes. Well, you say GF. I don't know if that's girlfriend or I don't know. GF has lots of anecdotes. Is this true? Would Fredo or would anyone hypothetically be in a bad way if they stopped taking their blood pressure medication and tried something else?
It would depend on what the medication was, but it's always good to slowly wean yourself off.
Titrate.
And at the same time, find something. Most plants actually will lower your blood pressure to some degree. And also, we have a B vitamin that was made back in the 30s. I use a company from the 30s that the man was smarter than Einstein. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And to help lower your blood pressure. But blood pressure can be caused by so many reasons. And that's what's wrong with medicine.
Right. Okay. Lisa's got high blood pressure, you know, and, the thing is, like, if she doesn't take her medicine, like, she gets incredible headaches. I mean, she knows right away that she forgot. So if whatever we can do to get her off of that and,
Most high blood pressure is from stress. And if you are driving down a freeway every day that's very stressful, or you're, you know, running around like crazy, or you're letting things upset you, you really should take some mindfulness and just say, I don't really care because I'm not going to let that kill me, you know, because really stress is the number one killer.
Okay. That makes sense. I've heard that before. Number one Indiana dad says, my primary care practitioner is a nurse practitioner. She put me on a grass-fed beef organ supplement last June. I'm going to get the results of the changes as part of my annual physical in June. I am clinically obese. Blood pressure runs 120 over 73. I don't know if that's good or not. What the blood pressure?
Yeah, well, okay. So when I was in school, cholesterol was 270 and your blood pressure was 120 plus your age. 100 plus your age over 80 to 90.
Okay. All right.
They've lowered it again to sell drugs, I think. Because there's a reason when you get older that your blood pressure increases. And I think we're seeing a lot of dementias and falls from lowering the blood pressure too much in the elderly because we don't have our adrenal glands aren't as strong. We probably heard of adrenal fatigue.
Absolutely.
And so it can't pump the blood to your brain as well as it used to, and our blood vessels are more weak.
So you need the higher blood pressure so that it can actually get it into it.
Yeah, but you don't want it too high. The fluctuating blood pressure is more of a problem than the higher blood pressure. But it should be under 200 for sure, you know, the high number. So there's so many variations of things. And that's why the personalized medicine, the individualized approach is the most important thing that, you know, we can do. Our medicine has been just, you know, cut down to the 15-minute visit. But, you know, one of the doctors who was at a conference, he said, he was an OBGYN, and he said, when I was in, I'll never forget being in my residency, and a woman had irregular bleeding, and the resident said, well, how old is she? But she's 21. Oh, give birth control. And then he had another one and said, oh, she's 42. Oh, give her, or, and then the resident said, oh, chief resident said, oh, do they have a uterus? Yeah, she's got a uterus. Okay, well, give her Prempro. And then another one, she's 52, she doesn't have a uterus. Okay, give her Premarin. So he said, what do we give for all these women conditions? And it's those three things. And it, all you ask, what's the age and do you have a uterus? So he said, you know, people call for a 2-minute visit. Well, you really don't even need that. He said, all you need is a headset going to the front desk and say, roommate, does she have a uterus and how old is she? And then you take, you know, your birth control and your Premarin and Prempro, stick them in your pocket. And then he said, oh, but before you go to the room, be sure you take a handful of antidepressants, because if they start complaining that it doesn't work, it's nothing to do with your treatment. The lady's crazy. Just give her some antidepressants.
Oh, God.
And then if that doesn't work, you get to do the big ticket item. That uterus is never going to work. Just rip it out, you know?
Oh, my God.
And, of course, this was done with a lot of gallus humor, mm-hmm. Because of the sad state. He does natural medicine. But he was saying to the other gynecologists in the audience, you know, maybe you don't want to do it. I'm going to show you how to make more money, because you really don't need 2 minutes. Just get a headset. And
wow.
Yeah.
Let's see. RFF Pack says, thank you and grateful for all you beautiful souls. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Fredo says, what are your thoughts on ivermectin? My Chinese deep state doctor suggested I see a specialist because she suspected a tumor in my thyroid. I took ivermectin for 2 weeks and my blood work showed no hint of that afterwards.
Well, very good.
Yeah. Good stuff. Postal for Hope says seed oils are clogging our adrenals. Yeah, I've heard a lot of bad stuff about seed oils. I don't know anything about clogging your adrenals, but I mean, I just use olive oil or coconut oil and avocado oil, too.
So when you say a seed oil, what are you talking about?
I would imagine they're talking about corn oil or cottonseed oil. What else? Okay. Soybean oil, that wouldn't be. That's a bean, I guess, or maybe it is technically a seed. I'm not certain.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything soy, I just stay away from anyways. But
because I use black currant seed oil, and it's like a miracle for women that have, especially young women that have dysmenorrhea, painful menses, migraine headaches around their menstrual cycles. Mm-hmm. And it's very good. But those other oils are mostly omega-6 that you talked about, and those are. They can be very detrimental to the body, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, those ones that I mentioned, I mean, I know that those are the big ones that they tend to use rather than the other ones that I was talking about, because they're cheaper. They're also subsidized by, you know, stuff from the government. So, yeah. But, you know, yeah. Other types of seed oils, I mean, like the homeopathic remedy that you just discussed there, I wouldn't think that would be a part of the same category. And thank you, Posa. Appreciate you. Gail Time says, I love this guest. So many questions. What's a good question to ask when screening a new doctor and you have to use a mainstream health insurance? Any advice on that? You want to ask about somebody's credentials, or like, do you have a test question to see how they would respond to know if maybe they're educated or not?
I would find the oldest doctor I could possibly
somebody who looks like they should retire.
They actually are thinking, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would look at it a different way of, okay, what can I get out of that doctor that can benefit me, like my lab work?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't really do physicals anymore. I don't think they learn how to do that either.
Yeah. So. Last time we went for a physical, I mean, all they did was lab work. And then he was like, yeah. That took my weight. That was basically it. Weight, temperature, and lab work. And that was all.
I guess that's a good thing about having all the crummy food, because now they can just say, well, you're obese. You need to lose weight.
Absolutely.
Everyone needs to lose weight. So
all right. Good stuff. Let's see. Over on Pilled, C.L. Goober, Dasting, glad you're enjoying it. Thank you to Dixie. Thank you to Porpoiseful. Thank you to Filter Dog for the shades. Thank you to Sean Joe. Thank you to Michelle Ann. Thank you to Sean Joe. 17 is coming for you, says, I am on 4 blood pressure meds and a water pill. Also, I have type 2 diabetes. I'm on 1,000 milligrams a day. My blood pressure is still high. So, yeah. Got to know more, I would imagine, to really give any advice.
And that, it sounds like, I'd have to ask what her creatinine clearance is, or blood creatinine, to see if her kidneys, sounds like her kidneys are the issue, and how much stress she's under. Because that's what I say to the medical students. I go, there's like 10 things that can cause high blood pressure. You know, you're driving down the road, and it takes you 2 hours to get to work. You know, you're going 10 miles and it's so stressful with cars whipping in and out, or family issues, stress, your job. And then you could have you could have hit your head and get high blood pressure. You could have a tumor, adrenal pheochromocytosis in your adrenal gland. You could have a heart issue. You could have, blood vessels are blocked, blood vessels, too much. Usually it's just too much sympathetic nervous system, because it causes vasoconstriction. So anything that constricts your blood vessel, just imagine if you put your hand over the lawn hose, you've got less space. That's what happens when you constrict something. So now the pressure is higher. The water goes further that you'd know when you were kids. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out, there's so many reasons. Why do you have those things? So that's what I do. If somebody came in with 220 over 110 blood pressure, I'd send them to the doctor. And then they come back to me, get on your medicine, and then let me figure out, is it stress? Are you magnesium deficient? Are you potassium deficient? Are you eating too much sodium? And that's not necessarily salt. Salt is good. You need sodium. And if you crave sodium, your adrenals are low. And so there's a lot of reasons for high blood pressure.
Okay. All right. And then Keith O'Higgins says, does Dr. Lynn subscribe to Dr. Robert Young's theory of the body pH being key to health and dealing with cancer? I've heard a lot of things about cancer and adequate pH levels. If you are acidic, then you're more likely to have cancer. If you're closer to the base level, then not so much. But I mean, I also, from what I understand, I mean, you pretty much you want to be generally neutral. You don't want to be too acidic. You don't want to be too basic. Is that right? Or is there something else there?
Well, Dr. Warburg actually was the one that came out with that in 1938. Okay. Who was a very famous physician. So there are diseases. Some are more acidic causing, and cancer would be one of those. And one of them is more basic. But the interesting thing is going again about cancer. There's so many things that can cause cancer. So one of the things that causes cancer, and we've known this since I was in school, because someone had it. They had Burkitt's lymphoma, which is definitely caused by Epstein-Barr virus. And I'm just finding so many problems with that. I had a patient that was deaf and she still had it. So if you've had mono, they try to say, oh, you only have those viruses, they go away. They don't go away. They might hide out for a while, but it's like shingles. You had the chicken pox 40 years ago and now you're getting the shingles. So those viruses can still be in there, more dormant or hiding in places that the doctors aren't taught about. So there's a lot of viruses that cause different types of cancers and things. So what I did, what I had one group of students do about a year and a half ago, and I really want to publish this. This is stepping back a second, but almost every autoimmune disease, you can find the bacteria that causes it. And there's different bacteria that cause, it's interesting because usually, you know, Yersinia enococca causes the thyroiditis, or in RA, it's usually, it can be Klebsiella, Prevotella. There's maybe five or six of them. In UC Davis, feels like they've written a lot. They've isolated the bacteria that causes MS. And they say that the bacteria puts out a toxin that goes to the brain that causes the lesions. So almost every autoimmune disease. So I had them go back and find out what pH do they grow in? And all of those bacteria grow in a basic pH. When they looked at people, there was a study they did, when they looked at people that had Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, diverticulitis, all those types of diseases, they looked at their stomach acid, and their stomach acid was 5, was the lowest. Your stomach acid should be 2. Mm-hmm. If you have a stomach acid of 2, you're not worried about parasites and things, because if you eat a worm or a parasite or something, it's not going to make it past that pH of 2. And then your GI tract goes from 5.5 in the duodenum down to 6. So whenever that gets to be too basic, actually, that's a real problem, because those bacteria grow, and so does yeast. Fungus loves a basic environment.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So and, might yeah. cause problems trying to solve another one, it sounds like.
I really do have an issue with those basic water machines, I have to tell you, because I had a patient, she was a holistic nurse, who called me and said, oh, Dr. Lafferty, I've had this yeast infection for 5 years. I'm doing everything right. I'm taking oregano oil. I'm taking the grapefruit seed extract, and I'm eating the total diet for 5 years, and I can't get rid of it. And she was eating well. I always ask people about their diet after they say they eat well, because usually you ask them, oh, what'd you have for breakfast? They'll go, oh, well, I went through McDonald's yesterday, but I never do that.
So, yeah, that's not good.
But no, she had a good diet. So I said, well, do you have one of those water machines that make base alkaline water? Oh, they're good for you. I go, no, they're not. If you want to get rid of a yeast infection, I go, when did you get that machine? She goes, 5 years ago. So one of my friends who's all into natural health and this and that, he got in a big fight with me, and he's like, no, it doesn't change the pH in your stomach. I mean, they tell you that, but actually the University of Bristol in England did a big study, and their question was, could, the alkaline water be an antacid? And absolutely, it neutralized the acid and made the pH go higher. So, you want your GI tract to be acidic. You don't want your blood to be acidic. I think the biggest thing is that we have, too many foods and things that our body causes inflammation.
Right.
And chronic inflammation definitely can lead to cancer, because there's something called ROS, reactive oxidative species, and that damages your tissue. And we know that those things cause cancer.
Okay. All right. Fascinating. Let me see. Shoot. Hold on. Where is it? Okay. Thank you again, Keith. Rumble Pilgrim says, best treatment for Hashimoto's. I take pig thyroid RX and I'm slim and fit.
All right.
Is that the best treatment for Hashimoto's, or is there something else out there that you would
give him a lot of natural antibiotics. I rotate those, and I make him take a probiotic and something called Zymex that makes the pH the right pH in your gut, so we could kill off whatever bacteria is causing it. But like I said, if you want to go to the medical literature, put in thyroiditis or Hashimoto's, You could put in Yersinia enterococca, or you could put gut bacteria, and there should be some studies that comes up and talks to you about it being caused by gut bacteria.
Okay. Now, Dr. Lafferty, are you and your team working on archiving any of this medical literature so that in case they do want to wipe it, memory hole it, that there will be a place for people to reference it in the future?
Yeah, that's such a great idea. That's almost overwhelming, but I need to do that. I have started doing that because you're right. One of the things, believe it or not, the gallbladder has beta cells and makes insulin, your gallbladder. I didn't know that. I tell my students when you're researching, it's okay to go to Wikipedia. The fun thing is go to the reference. So it said it in Wikipedia and we went to the reference and sure enough, they took someone's gallbladder out and it was in 2009. It was in cell biology and, they found beta cells and they make insulin. And actually there's doctors in India who are taking those beta cells out of the gallbladder and putting them into your pancreas. And it's working for type 1 diabetics to get them off their insulin.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's great.
But they took that, what I wanted to say.
Oh, sorry.
They took it off Wikipedia when I started talking about it, and it's hard to find that article anymore. So, they're scrubbing the medical information, too.
It's a shame. TZ Burton says, hi, Dr. Lynn. I take magnesium every day. I stopped letting traffic get me mad. My wife is a nurse, but we practice natural medicine and we make our own cleaning supplies. Oh, I know about cholesterol. All right. You're on the right track. Let me see. Fredo says, my friend Michelle fears she may have prostate cancer. Can you recommend anything to help fight that without meds? He's talking about Michelle Obama's. Okay. We're going to go ahead and take our first caller. They're on the line. And actually, before we do, let me just one more time say, you guys, if you want to head on over to Dr. Lafferty's website, you can take all of those free courses that she was mentioning. And then she also has several that are paid. And clearly, you're going to get a ton of great information. Lynn, is this like how are the classes that you offer on a paid basis? How are they actually notated on the website? Is it a general course? Are you giving people specific information on specific subjects? What should they expect when they go to the site?
Okay, so the course would be 10% off when you order it. So if you put RP7810, you'll get 10% off. It's at usually $125. It's 10 sessions and about 20 hours.
Okay.
So I give a course with for about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes usually with slides. And then I leave time for you to ask questions. Then it gets edited usually at the beginning, I have to just edit out the dead space. And the next morning, it's put in your education portfolio. And that course is going to be yours forever to be able to access. With the course, I also give you a booklet on all the foods that have vitamins. So if you think you need more B vitamins or B1, B2, it'll tell you which foods are highest in that. And then we also have refrigerator lists. So if you wanted to increase your vitamin D in foods, you just put it on your refrigerator and to remind yourself what foods are high in vitamin D or vitamin A or those types of things. I also have we brought in the elderberry in alcohol that was so good for COVID. It was very expensive because, you know, to bring things into a university or whatever, you have to have a lot of insurance and this and that. But if you would have gone and gotten yourself some organic vodka and some organic dried elderberries off from, you know, a site that we may use a lot, then you could have made your own for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So I show you in a booklet how you can make different herbal remedies, and also I'm going to come out with a small book on my grandmother's favorite recipes for life. But there's so many things in your kitchen, for instance, that are right there. So when I first bought my house, I live out, well, not really in the country. It used to be the country, but there's a lot of spiders out where I live. And my pants, I got either a wolf spider or a brown recluse. I don't know which, but it started itching and getting infected, and I treated it naturally. It went away. It took about a month, but I learned from the literature that basil will stop a spider bite. So about 3 or 4 years later, I got out of my pool and I felt like I got bit by that same spider, and it started doing the same thing and swelling. So I put the basil, some brown liquid came out of it, and it never did any. It just dried up, you know.
Wow.
Or if somebody gets into poison, just, burn some toast. That's charcoal. And that'll take a lot of the poison. Have them eat that. It'll take a lot of the poison out. Or another remedy, everybody should have some organic lavender oil in your kitchen. It takes a burn away instantaneously.
Wow.
So there's so many little things like that. My grandmother on the farm used a spider web to put a finger back on one of her children that lost their finger in an accident in one of the farm machines. And
Whoa.
When you go into the literature on these things and you look at this, sure enough, there's enzymes and things in that spider web that can help put your body pieces back together.
So are you not saying that it like grew back? It just like helped it to reattach?
No, you can attach it. Because you have to imagine they're out in the country, 1940. They probably didn't even have a car. Or if
right.
they had one, it probably went 30 miles an hour and they were 50 miles away from a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had this big gash under his arm because my grandmother literally took, and she didn't have very good knives, but took a knife because he couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
He had pneumonia and he wasn't breathing. So, you know, these people had to think fast on their feet of what they could do and what they used. It's very interesting.
That is interesting. Wow. Okay. Cool stuff. All right. Well, let's go ahead and bring in our first caller.
Don't teach surgery. I don't teach surgery, Zach, though.
No surgery. Okay. All right. So, obviously the website again was DrLynnLafferty.com. Check it out. And then mods, if you guys would go ahead and pass out the link in the chats so that everybody can reference it, that would be awesome. And let's go ahead and bring in our first caller we've got two callers on the line. So we'll bring in the first one. I think this is going to be KC. KC, is that you?
Hey, what's happening, Zach? And happy, I would say Saturday the 13th, but without leap year, it's Friday the 13th. So
there you
good
go.
Timing for World War III.
oh, yeah, certainly.
And I want to welcome Dr. Lynn. I just love the talk about elderberry. I just go back to those taunting French knights saying, your mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberry.
I don't remember what that's from, but I definitely remember hearing it.
Monty Python, Holy Grail. Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
elderberry is a great natural cure and stuff. But as Zach knows, anytime there's a medical professional on, I like to ask about the golden bloods and what in the pharmaceutical sense was ever taught to you about giving different drugs for different blood types. And if you're not familiar with the golden bloods, there's about 24 to 48 people in the world that have that type. So I think it's kind of a sign of evolution or devolution, whichever way you want to go on it. I just think it's such an anomaly. But what did you ever come across in your teaching and your research that if somebody had a negative or positive, what drugs or, you know, natural wouldn't necessarily be compatible or copacetic with that type of blood type?
I don't know what type of blood you're talking
about.
I'll
tell you, it is Rh null blood. I don't know if that's the same as Rh negative, But no Rh antigens in the red blood cells. It's the rarest blood type in the world. Less than 50 individuals have this blood type, and it's first seen in Aboriginal Australians. Huh. Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't have an answer for that because we didn't ever learn about it.
So did they ever mention anything about specific drugs that are permissible with certain blood types or certain drugs that should be avoided? No.
No, they think everybody should take every drug.
Okay.
And if you die, oh well.
It's because they didn't take the Prozac.
Cost of doing business, right, Zach?
Yeah.
Well, and I want to talk about, you were talking about cholesterol levels and everything, and I was always just under the impression, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the brain is made up of mostly cholesterol.
Yes.
So these cholesterol-lowering drugs are actually causing the brain fog or diminished mental capacity. But I also think the introduction of aluminum into our society. And I think aluminum may be a fat binder or a cholesterol binder. So I think we're dealing with that and trying to detox bodies from the aluminum essence. So I don't know if you have an herbal or alternative drug that would like maybe release the aluminum that's in our system. I mean, microplastics is another thing, but, you know, just anything that, like I say, maybe binds to the aluminum as opposed to even the cholesterol.
Yeah, that's called chelation. So EDTA, there's something called DMPS. So there's a few things. Penicillamine is a drug that they made a long time ago that does it. It's really sad because that is a drug that, especially penicillamine, was made for lead poisoning. And I was on the board of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, and we wanted to go in when those kids got hit with lead in
Flint,
Michigan.
Flint. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, you can go in and help, but you can't talk about chelation whatsoever. And I called a friend of mine that was working in one of the big organizations, and he came up with some crazy thing about, well, you don't know what happens to it. You might pull out more than it is, you know. I said, I don't know where you're getting this from. You know, there's a huge chapter in my pharmacology book from 1976 about chelation therapy. It's safe. I like to use suppositories because it's biphasic and then the metal trickles out. I do not like, a lot of people do IV and you're giving a big dose of the chelating agent. And that could ultimately, there was one doctor, he didn't know what he was doing, and he was having this lady do it IV every day, and her kidneys got shut down. Mm. She survived okay and everything. But when she got to the hospital, they said, we don't know what chelation even is, but don't do it anymore. Mm. But well, chelation, and I just want to say one thing. You know, you're 100% right about it causes Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. If you go to the CDC website and you put Advigent, you'll see that most of the vaccines have aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Then go to, and if you want to look this up, just go to Google and you can put in aluminum, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and put scholarly after it. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the studies will come up.
Yes.
Yeah. You were talking also about the adrenaline. And the, I don't want to call it adrenochrome, but just in the sense of, I just know how expensive epinephrine's become since they've mandated every school have it. You know, I'm allergic to bees, so I have to have it. But is there a natural epinephrine out there in the wild, if you will, other than maybe cocaine? I don't know. Something that'll do
Trick. Closest thing was ephedra. They took that off the market too. So that's one, you know, there's a few drug things I wouldn't mess with, and that would be one of them since you're allergic.
Well, but the whole thing is the epinephrine is a dilution of adrenaline, correct?
It is adrenaline.
Right.
That's the other word.
The price of adrenaline has gone way up, because of obviously the mandates, but what is out there in the, like I say, the wild, if you will. And I'm a big fan of liver, by the way. I just absolutely love it in the sense of a food source. But is there, let me ask you, is there any better liver? Is it better to have sheep liver or is it better to have beef liver?
Well, you know, in the studies, they usually talk about pig liver. I never heard anybody eating pig liver before, but that's, you know, the pigs are the closest to humans genetically. But I think cow or, you know, liver is just good because that's where a lot of the B vitamins get converted to their active form.
And I know that anytime I've seen about the anytime I've seen supplements, the liver supplements, it's always from cows. I've never heard of anybody harvesting it from pigs, but I mean, maybe it's just a cost benefit thing. I mean, like cow livers are much larger than sheep liver or than pig livers.
Yeah.
So it's probably just easier to harvest those.
But it also makes sense now why the pigs being unclean animals led onto the ark because they're so close to humans. I didn't put that correlation together. That's a big question I've always had. Why would you?
You know who put that together, which is really amazing to me. So I do some lecturing in the Middle East. One of my PhD students, he's a dean over in Jordan, and actually Mohammed had a health book, and the first sentence is, your stomach is the key to your good health, which is so true. But I always thought that Muslims didn't eat pork for the same reason that Jews don't eat pork. But actually, they don't eat pork because Muhammad said there was a group of humans that were so horrible that God degenerated them into pigs. So I find that fascinating that 1500 years ago, because pigs are the closest to us genetically. So I just find that interesting that he came up with that 1500 years ago.
That is pretty fascinating.
Yeah. Well, what about humanized mice? Dr. Fauci's had a bunch of those. I mean, God knows what he's done to the dogs, but the humanized mice, is that maybe the reason with the bubonic plague, it was carried by rats? Because we have that animal reservoir.
Not certain. I don't know. From what I understand, they're humanizing mice just so that they can get closer results in the lab that would be occurring in a human body. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they've humanized pigs already in a lot of respects.
Sure.
We've seen pig organs being transplanted. Probably way ahead of us in China in that respect. They can't get enough Uyghurs to cut up and sell their parts. But also, you're talking about the suppositories. I'm guessing you're a big fan of the hemorrhoidal artery for delivery. And I'm going to say for the, you know, and I'm just under the impression that, you know, so much disease is caused by the abuse of the hemorrhoidal artery, whether it's young kids or gay men. It's like you're asking for trouble, you know, by making an entrance out of an exit. So, but I just think that the hemorrhoidal artery, along with the vagus nerve, is probably the two most important highways for health, along with the gastrointestinal tract.
Maybe. All right. Well, listen, KC, we're kind of breaking up and I'm losing you a little bit, buddy. So we're going to move on to the next caller, but I do appreciate you calling in.
Thank you for your question.
Absolutely. And yes. I'm going to hook up with your website and I'll definitely be one of your biggest supporters. I love what you're doing and just keep it natural because we can't afford to go along with the corporate message, which is cut and drug.
Yep.
You know, God didn't make us to be, you know, a part of a medical community that doesn't question. So, but have a wonderful night. God bless. And let's get in and out of this third world war quick and get Trump back into power because Biden might be president, but I don't think he's commander in chief. So,
amen.
God bless us all. And we'll talk to you next weekend.
All right, we'll see you, brother. God bless. Peace. Thanks. Have a good one. All right, we've got Richard on the line. Funny, well, interesting story here, guys. We're waiting for Richard's audio to connect. And, okay, so Richard, you're on the air. We should have audio, and I can see you. So, okay, Richard and I recently reconnected through Twitter. I kind of want you to tell the story, Richard, if you would.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we've got good audio.
Awesome. Yeah, so it's kind of a long story. A while ago, I would watch all of your live streams, and I think you accidentally flashed the Zoom link just for like a half a second.
Yeah.
So I paused the video and I joined there under I think the name Q Anonymous, and I said, "Keep up the good work," and then I left just to not to cause too much trouble, but just to keep you on your toes, I suppose. But yeah, I think I was probably 13 or 14.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So, long story short, my older brother got me into, all the conspiracy theory type videos and that kind of stuff. And so that kind of kickstarted everything. And I went off on my own, and I think I found you on YouTube.
Yeah.
You were still on YouTube back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked you. And then there was WWG. Or where we go, one we go all.
That's Brad. That's my buddy Brad. Yeah. We do a show together on Wednesday nights. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. You two were kind of my main sources of information. But in the past 2 years, I've kind of cut off a lot of my information when it comes to that, and just have been trying to take more action steps to less, I guess, informed and more actually take steps to improve my life.
Real world stuff. And that's great. That's the only thing that I could ask for. So I just thought that it was so cool. I guess you found me on Twitter after all these years. How did that happen?
I was just thinking about it. I was like, hey, I was talking to my brother, and I was like, hey, you remember that time when I joined that live stream? He's like, yeah, that was funny, because – yeah. Anyway, so I looked you up on Twitter and I found you, and I DM'd you, and I was surprised that you responded, and now here I am.
Yeah. So I had I just happened to go into my my inbox, because on Twitter, if you get messages from people you're not following, it goes into a separate inbox. And I just happened to go in there looking for a message from somebody else, and I saw Richard, and I was like, oh, who's that? And I went and looked, and I was like, oh, man, because I totally remember when it happened. And I just thought that it was so cool, because at the time, he was a young kid. He was watching the show, and he just wanted to let me know that he was doing good. And I'm glad you're doing awesome, man. And I'm glad that you're actually taking steps in your personal life and your local community to kind of bring this stuff to light and work to make America a better place. Because that's the only thing that I could ever ask for. I mean, I've always said, I if the only thing you're doing is watching podcasts and waiting for new podcasts to come out, then you're doing it wrong. You should take the information that you learn, and you should be proactive in your community and actually try to help make America better, make America great in so many different ways. And so I'm really, really proud of you, and I just wanted to say that. And Lynn, I don't know if Lynn is going to come back. She's got to come back in, because we've got her for another 30 minutes or so. But maybe she had to step away or something. Maybe she's going to come back. She just turned her camera off. Okay. Maybe she must be getting something to drink. But Richard, you mentioned conspiracy videos, but all of that stuff ended up not being conspiracies. It's really spoiler alerts, because now, after a couple of years of talking about this stuff, so many of the things that we've talked about have ended up being what's true. It's just hidden information. It's like what Lynn and I are talking about. All of these things that you're talking about, Lynn, I'm sure doctors have said, that's not true. It's a conspiracy. But you can go back and you can point to things, and it's not a conspiracy. It's just suppressed.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Well, I would actually take it one step further. I'm pretty sure the definition of conspiracy is, like a planned out.
Yeah.
you know, form of action in like that's hidden.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's not true. And I think the term conspiracy theory was put into the public in order to discredit anyone who kind of got the idea that there were conspiracies, because there are conspiracies all over.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And so a conspiracy theory is a theory about people getting together in order to do kind of bad things.
Yep.
And so if something is a conspiracy, that doesn't mean it's not true.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, you're so dead on. What I like to say is that we're not conspiracy theorists, we're conspiracy analysts. Because yes, a conspiracy a conspiracy is simply just two or more people getting together and agreeing to do something in secret. Obviously, conspiracies are real. They take place all the time. And the theory is only a theory as long as we haven't proven it to be something correct. And it was the Central Intelligence Agency that came up with the term conspiracy theory or conspiracy theorist to try to denigrate people who might be looking into these things. And at that time, the big conspiracy theory was that the government had killed John F. Kennedy. And obviously, you know, I mean, a lot of that has borne out to be true. So, yes, conspiracy analysis is really a more apt term. And I think that's something we should be learning and talking about, because all of these things that people would have branded as conspiracy theories have just turned out to be conspiracies that people hadn't realized were taking place in the background. On Monday nights, Richard, my friend John and I have a show called Baseless Conspiracies, which is a dig at the mainstream media, calling us baseless, talking about baseless conspiracies or calling us conspiracy theorists. And so I would suggest that if you get a chance, check that out. It's on another channel. It's on Badlands Media. And then, like I said, Brad and I do a show on Wednesdays on the same channel called Altered State, where we talk about seminal moments in history in America and around the world that kind of altered the path of this country and the path of society in general. So, well, but what are you doing in your personal life, Richard?
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
So right now for a job, I don't have a full-time job. I'm 18 years old. I do multiple different things. The main thing that I do right now is landscaping. So that would be I clear snow, I cut grass, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I have like a few routine customers that pays the bills. And then I also, I'm, you know, renovating houses with my brother-in-law. So I'm pretty much right now, I don't know what I want to do with my life. All I know is that I want to be ready for the opportunity. So I'm just trying to learn as many things as I can.
That's great.
You know, learn how to run a business, learn how to, you know, be handy in a house, that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of like what I'm doing for like income wise. But as to, I guess, be prepared with all like the information that I got, I, you know, I've kind of like, well, I want to have all of my basic needs met. So I have, I'll show you this. I have this freeze dryer right here.
Sweet. That's great.
Yeah, that thing's awesome. So I have a bunch of freeze dried food all made up. I practicing my Second Amendment right for sure.
Perfect.
I'm making sure to stay in touch with like local farmers. That's something I need to work on better. I need to plant my own garden, that kind of stuff.
Good.
But really, what confuses me with a lot of these, you know, good forms of information, you get all this information. And now that I've done that stuff, I've got food, I've got protection, I've got community.
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to do? I get this information that all these people are, you know, the big pharma's out to get us, you know, yep. They just want to make money. So what do you do with that information? I kind of feel like I'm running at 1,000 RPM and my wheels aren't moving.
I totally understand. I mean, a lot of people get information overload. Well, I mean, on that note specifically, I mean, I think that's what Lynn and I are talking about here tonight. You know, I mean, personally, I'm of the opinion that in the same way you've got to take, you know, your all of your basic needs into account and make sure that you're providing for yourself and you can take care of your family, you've also got to have the knowledge to be able to kind of be your own healthcare provider or at least know in which direction to go to. Lynn, can you comment on that?
Yes. I mean, you know, having your own food supply is a really good beginning of, you know, making sure it's organic and it's pesticide free and all that, because all that keeps you healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 65 and I took my student, the one from the Middle East, he and his wife, as a thank you, because he'd helped me so much with a project to Egypt. And I'm like, come on, let's go. We got to go to the pyramids. And they're like, what? They're like dragging. So I can still outrun some of the students that I teach. So you have to keep yourself really healthy. They're there drinking their high fructose corn syrups and they go, well, it doesn't hurt me. I go, you don't know what it's doing to you. You're getting hit on a molecular level. You just have a lot of young cells, but you'll see in time what it's going to do for you, because we know that that and trans fat, for instance, are really the two things that cause type 2 diabetes. I never saw type 2 diabetes. I never saw 98% of the diseases that kids have today. They weren't there when I was a kid. So,
well, and you also mentioned earlier pancreatic cancer, seeing the first case. I mean, I hear about pancreatic cancer all over the place now. And obviously,
I think that's all from GMO food, because there's a really good study. It was 40 animal studies back probably 15 years ago. And it showed, not all the studies showed this, but that a lot of them, the animals had precancerous lesions in their pancreas. And the thing is that, you know, GMO food was never tested. Now, you have to, again, when you're a health investigator, you really have to investigate. I have to investigate, because now I see articles, oh, GMO food's so good. And that was like the dean of, I think it was Ohio University or Ohio State, whichever one has an ag school, I'm not sure. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I found that Monsanto gave them $50 million dollars. So, you know, and there was a study that came out from Stanford that said, oh, organic food isn't any different than regular conventional food with pesticide. And it turned out that the woman, one of the people that had run the study, they'd gotten $50 million from like Cargill and that those big food giants. They're the same thing as a pharmaceutical company. And the comments from the scientists from around the world to the Stanford scientists of how bad their science was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I what I would say, Richard, is that, no, you're okay, Lynn. But you're on the right track. Obviously, you need to be able to take care of all your basic needs. And then you want to figure out, well, everybody is going to be a little bit different based upon where you live. I mean, what is that community that you're hooked into? You know, I mean, what state are you in? What city are you in? You know, what do you want to do and how do you want to have an impact? A lot of people focus on election stuff, you know, I mean, like, because elections are always coming around. You know, a lot of other people are just going to focus on, you know, like farming and like the basic needs, homesteading. You know, if that's your bag, then that's probably going to be your full-time bag. Because, I mean, if you are homesteading, if you are growing food, if you're taking care of animals, if you're, you know, breeding livestock, I mean, that's obviously a full-time job. Do you want to tell us what state you live in, or like what area you live in, or do you want to stay anonymous in that respect?
No, I live in the Midwest in Michigan.
Oh, dude, you're from I was that's where I'm from, is Michigan. That's where I grew up. I mean, so that's where I was at until we moved to Florida.
Yeah, so we were real close by then, probably.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yep. All right. Well,
Go ahead. Yeah, so you mentioned the carnivore diet, and I figured it might be interesting to talk about that with the three of us here. Not that I'm, you know, an expert or anything, but I've done about as much YouTube research as there is that's capable of doing.
Yeah.
And how is that working for you? When did you decide that you wanted to do that? Why did you decide that? You know, how's that working?
Well, I mean, really, I did keto for a long time and just tried to minimize my carb intake. And as a, you know, kind of a consequence of that, you just end up eating a lot of red meat, or, you know, meat in general. I prefer red meat. I like, you know, I like beef over chicken. And now, honestly, it's, again, a matter of necessity just because of how expensive everything is. I end up eating a lot of hamburger because it's a cheap way to get red meat. And then, you know, eggs and cheese, you know, the other part of it is that I just try to eat as natural a diet as possible and stay away from processed foods. Like, you know, if I eat something that's really high in carbs, like I feel like my blood sugar crashes. Like, I mean, I get to a point where like I have to be eating more food and I have to eat something that is as dense in calories as possible. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, at 45 years old, I've just come to really know the foods that I put in my body, like what's going to make me feel a certain way. And if I eat ice cream or if I eat, you know, processed cereal or something like that, you know, it's like I just notice that my body feels different and I have to have something else. But if I like start the day off with like, you know, oatmeal, eggs and bacon, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, three ingredients and it's a full balanced meal. Then I feel great and I don't have to, you know, be packing stuff into my mouth, you know, in the next like 3 hours or so. But like, you know, I mean, I just, if I eat hamburgers, then I also have like, you know, just a couple of key ingredients and, I got vegetables, I've got beef, I've got, dairy and I feel much better, myself. And I also am not like gaining weight. I'm not like losing weight. And, I just, yeah, just, I feel like it's better for me. I don't know. Lynn, any commentary on my diet?
Well, if it works for you, you know, meat is so important because it makes all our neurotransmitters, the protein. And what I see, especially a lot of kids that are on ADHD medicines or antidepressants, they, serotonin, for instance, it starts with protein. So meat is probably, red meat is probably our best form of protein and vitamins. It's got a lot of good vitamins in it. You know, we ate that way as kids. I'm from Western New York, which is very similar growing and the people to Michigan. And we had at least our lunch and dinner, we had, our cafeteria was so good when I was a kid, you know, back in the 60s, we had these old ladies and they made mashed potatoes and meatloaf and all from scratch. You know, we had really good meals back then, but you always had a meat, a potato or a rice. You had a vegetable and some kind of either like a raw fruit or a salad. My mom, we just, our parents knew how to feed us a very balanced diet.
Well, and now just recently they changed the food pyramid and they made it like completely out of whack. I mean, like carbs now are like the number one thing that you're supposed to be eating. And like they want you to restrict your meat. They want you to restrict your dairy. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I would imagine they've probably changed the makeup of our diet for the same reason that they've push doctors towards just prescribing a couple of key medications. I mean, it's probably, again, about the profit motive.
And veganism has become.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I like a vegan diet for people that have cancer for a short term, but a vegan diet is the most nutrient, except for the SAD, that's the standard American diet that people go a lot to, you know, McDonald's. But other than that, it's the only diet out of the, you know, all the diets, keto, even a vegetarian diet like they have in India, they eat a lot of cheese and milk products and eggs and stuff. It's the only diet that's nutrient incomplete. And they talk about it in all the nutrition books, the rage. It's called vegan rage. I work with a professor who's very brilliant at our university, but he's a vegan and he's always angry. And when he gets angry at me, I just send him a emoji of a pork chop.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Or tell him to eat some butter.
Yeah, I mean, I've known several vegans in my life, and it seems like they're always not in the type of shape that you want to be in. I mean, like, they're overcompensating with a lot of super processed foods. You know, I mean, like, in order to get protein, they are going to be eating, like, soy-based stuff. And I mean, you look at those vegan appropriate foods and it just seems like it's so processed. There's so many like binders and fillers and chemicals and stuff in it. It just doesn't seem like it'd be that good for you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Richard, I want to thank you for calling in, buddy. Thank you for letting us know that you're doing okay. Say hello to your brother as well. I don't know who your brother is, but if you watch the show, then hopefully he's doing okay, too. You're muted. Or I'm not getting any sound from you. Yeah, I'm not hearing anything. It says that you have a microphone connected, but I'm not hearing anything. I don't know, dude. I don't know. Well, listen, call in again sometime and stay in touch on Twitter, okay? All right.
You keep up the good work, Richard. I'm proud of you.
Me too. Me too.
Kids
all right.
like that make me know I have a future.
Yes, exactly. All right. We'll talk to you soon, brother. Peace. All right. Good stuff.
That's why I'm doing the health investigator. I'm trying to find people to be able to help me when I get older.
Well, that's the thing. Obviously, you know, you've got to pass this information down to the next generation. Otherwise, it's just going to be lost. I mean, I think about this all the time. And this is one thing that I've noticed, you know, just with the kind of modern day agenda. They want to erase that connection to the past. I mean, they want people to have no culture. They want people to have no history, no connection to those former generations because people are just easier to brainwash that way. You know, I mean, think about like how much information, how much knowledge has just been lost on a global scale because they've wanted to erase that stuff and they want people to just, you know, be your God is the TV. Your God is modern medicine. And they don't want you to have any of those things, any of that old information. And especially with moving people like onto the internet, it's much easier to control information. I mean, like you've said, I mean, like the studies that you've referred to in the past have been disappearing. And if they're not able to find them online or if the paper copy doesn't exist anymore, then it's almost like it never happened.
I found it so bizarre, especially because I found that information on Wikipedia and then it was gone.
Somebody must have heard you talk about it, to be honest with you.
AI, because that's such a weird thing, right? That the gallbladder makes beta cells.
Well, you know, I mean, and I know specifically with Wikipedia, the editorializing that they do on there, they've got a select group of people that are like specifically crafting the way information is presented there. And I know that there's Intel connections to it as well. And, you know, like so you talk about something like, I mean, this is totally off topic, but like the Franklin scandal, okay? Like the Franklin Credit Union scandal. And
yeah,
the Boy,
I know.
Boystown
I read
scandal.
That book, The Franklin Cover-Up.
Yes, The Franklin Cover-Up. It's been a long time since I've read it, but it's a really good book. And, so, you know, when you reference something about that on Wikipedia, there's a whole bunch of stuff that they like will not allow to be on there. Like, there was a civil lawsuit against Lawrence King, and they don't want you to know about that. They don't want you to know about the fact that the kids who made claims ended up having the law turned around on them, and many of them ended up either dying or being sent to prison themselves. So, I mean, clearly they. They definitely don't want you having all the information. I guess I'll just say that. So Wikipedia, to use it as a primary source, I think is a really bad idea. But to use it as one of many sources that can allow you to get to other sources, that's certainly something to be said for that. Let me see. Freight Awakening says, great show and thank you so much for your time, Dr. Lynn. Last question. Do you have any recommendations for acid reflux? Pepcid is part of my daily diet and I don't eat acidic foods. It sucks.
So one of the things I would ask this patient, and maybe he can answer me, if I was to give you a big steak, would that, well, first of all, how old are you? And secondly, if I was to give you a big steak to eat by itself, would you get, you know, gastric reflux, bloating, heartburn, feel constipated, any of those symptoms?
Okay. All right. Fredo, if you can answer, I think Fredo just turned 50, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And then tell us, answer those questions and then we'll ask them of Dr. Lynn. So thank you, Fredo. Also, Poso says spirulina and chlorella for metal detox. I don't know, but is that do those work?
I'm not sure. I know cilantro, yeah, works.
Okay.
So I'm sure the greens work. Not the same way that EDTA and things are much more powerful.
Okay.
But they do work over time.
All right. And Richard, I hope you're still listening, because Fredo says, become a plumber, they make bank. You know, and this is always there's job security in being a plumber or in being an electrician, either one of those. Yeah. Let's see. Brian Murphy says, Zach, I watched you just before you and Method streamed every day through the lockdown. So that was quarantine. Thank you for being a source of truth and light, dragging the Satanist deep state out of the shadows and bringing the fight to them. Thank you very, very much, man. I really appreciate that. Thank you for the donation. And then Fredo says, amen to Brian Murphy. Thank you for that. And then Keith O'Higgins says, what's the effect of pasteurized milk on our modern diet? The Ammo Miller case in Pennsylvania is fascinating. Zach could do a whole show on his raw milk persecution. Yes. So obviously they don't want you drinking raw milk for whatever reason.
I love raw milk.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's the best.
Especially for any GI condition. It's like the cure. Yeah. It's great.
So pasteurized milk. I mean, what does drinking pasteurized milk do to our bodies?
Well, you know, I know people think it hurts the body or whatever, but it probably does, because to some degree, it just doesn't have its enzymes. So, you know, you're more likely to be lactose intolerant. But, you know, people that are lactose, I was visiting a friend and I got some raw milk out in Nevada, and I gave it, I said, here, try this. My friend's husband, he goes, you know, I'd be in the hospital with that. I go, I don't know, try it. I'm so lactose intolerant. He took it and he couldn't believe it. No problems,
really?
You know? And when you have, you know, you don't want to take milk when you're congested, because it is mucus producing. But in your GI tract, you want mucus, because the mucus helps heal slimy things like aloe and okra, the slimy when you cook it. All those things, they actually attach to the cells and they start healing the cells in the GI tract that are mucus producing. So that's where milk comes in. And plus that all those bacteria are so good to heal your body.
Yeah. We've got a farm not far from here that sells raw milk. Legally, you can't sell raw milk to people for consumption. So they sell it as a pet food. And
dog.
So,
yeah, I'm in Florida too.
Yeah.
And the cheese is really great. Oh
so
my goodness.
Good. Oh my
and
God.
And the cream. The cream is the best.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. So I'm lucky they actually do deliveries. You just have to get your order in on a certain date so that they will have it brought to you by Tuesday. Let's see. Fredo
says. It does pack on the pounds, though, Zach. That's
it does. It does. But I mean, I drink whole milk all the time. This is my weight, drinking whole milk all the time. And so I don't. I guess if I start gaining weight, I'll stop. But I can't help it. It's the best. I love it. Let's see. Fredo says, thank you, Lisa, for 49 now, 50 on June 15th. Okay, so he's 49. Flag Day, which is Donald J. Trump's birthday. And then he says, I don't get it after eating steak. It just seems to flare up after being awake for a few hours and then again at night after eating.
Well, the other question I would ask is if you're under a lot of stress, because stress is sympathetic nervous system. It does turn off your digestion. I would recommend taking some digestive enzymes. Like we have a good one that's called okra pepsin. So it's got the okra with the pepsin, because the stomach acid breaks down to pepsinogen, so you don't have reflux. Or try taking, this is an old remedy that we did in pharmacy school. So try taking vinegar, like a tablespoon in about a quarter of a cup of water, or a vinegar salad after your meal, and see if that helps. And if that helps your digestion, then you know you don't have enough stomach acid. If that doesn't help, take a teaspoon of baking soda in a quarter cup of water and take that after the meal. If that does, you actually have too much acid. But I would say about 90% of people actually don't have enough stomach acid. And that's what the research, the studies show, that by age 50, you've lost about half of your stomach acid. And that's really important. So that's called betaine hydrochloride, or there's a product I use called Zypan to give you stomach acid. And you should eat that with your food. But do that vinegar or baking soda test first to make sure you're actually not making enough stomach acid.
Okay, Fredo, I hope that you got that. And you can always rewind if you didn't. So thank you very much. Oh, Trisha also, hold on a second. Keith O'Higgins. Oh, that was the pasteurized milk. I got that. Trisha says, can you look up, the article on archive? Okay. Well, if you're looking for something specific, you've got to know the link to where it was before they took it offline. And if you don't have that link, then you're not going to be able to find it through a search engine because they've removed all traces of it. So yeah, I suppose, you know, you might be able to. Do you, okay. Well, I mean, this goes back to what I was asking earlier about you archiving things specifically. Have you published links that used to be online to, or have you gone in and tried to find them on the Internet Archive to see if they were archived before they got removed?
No, I went to the archive, the Time Machine, right?
Yeah.
I did that recently because I was trying to, I forgot what it was I was looking for. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So there's a couple of different ones, Lynn, that you might want to, like, you know, try it out and maybe like archive things when you find them. There's archive.org, which is totally compromised. There's archive.is, and then there's archive.ph. So, you know, anytime I'm looking for something, I'll look for them in all three. And oftentimes I'll find them in one, but I won't be able to find them in the others. So thank you, Trisha. Let's see.
Interesting. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, no problem. Let's see. Richard, he said, I'm learning a lot of electrical right now. Zach, I will DM you a great deal I found at Omaha Steaks. Awesome interview. If you don't hit the thumbs up, you ain't black. That, no, I'm sorry. That was from Fredo. Hold on. I got him mixed up. Okay. So yes. So Richard said, I'm learning electrical. Maybe I can come on when the topic is more fitting and explain how I dropped out of high school and bought a house at 18. Good conversation though. Yeah. We can definitely talk about that on another night, and we'll just talk about that specifically. We'll talk in DMs. But yes, Fredo, he says, I found Omaha Steaks because he sent Lisa and I a gift card for Easter. Awesome interview. If you don't hit the thumbs up, you ain't black. Okay, great. Keith O'Higgins, Fredo, you could be going through menopause. If you subscribe to male hormone therapy, I know for a fact that Big Mike is going through that now. Mohap. All right. And then we've got one more caller coming through. Freedom Machines, also known as Mr. Amazing. Let's bring in Freedom Machines. Freedom Machines, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we've got audio. Welcome to the program, sir. How you doing?
Hey there. Hope you guys are doing well. This is to tag on way earlier in the show compared to what you're talking about now.
Okay.
Where I'm living, I have a whole lot of farms around me, so I always go there for the eggs and everything, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the pharmaceutical information that you guys were talking about, if anyone has seen the Dr. David Martin interviews and what was it? Wasn't he like a special witness in the UK or something whenever he was talking about the patents?
Dr. David Martin.
The injections and the tests and the virus itself for COVID-19 all came out before this brand new unknown virus ever went out into planet Earth.
Yes. I don't know his face, but I know I've heard of him in context with the vaccine conversation.
He has the bald head. He always wears a bow tie.
Oh, yeah. I know totally who that guy is. Yeah.
He used to be like I think he was a patent attorney or I can't remember. His resume is 5,000 feet long. But the standout information is not only was this like building a tank with parts from a battleship as well as a helicopter. I mean, this thing was literally built in a lab. But they also patented the means on which to test it, and all of the shots that were going to be coming out were also patented before it ever, this brand new, quote-unquote, unknown virus just happened to come out of Wuhan from a bat to a person.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I've definitely talked about that on the show. There was also research grants that were being funded through the Department of Defense and a couple of different specific federal agencies on COVID-19 research before it had been identified and even named publicly. They were doing work within the government. So, yes, yeah, it was.
You guys did talk about that on this show?
No, not tonight, but I'm talking about me personally on my show in the past.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I wanted to see what her thoughts were on that information.
Do you remember? I remember back when Bush was in, a lot of the virologists ended up showing up dead. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely remember that. Yeah.
Part of the Clinton body count, just saying.
I think that was during Bush Cheney.
Yeah. Well, the Clintons, the Clintons are they don't care. They'll assassinate people no matter who's in the White House. But no, you're right. I mean, there was also we've had a couple of different spates of specific disciplines within the medical community mysteriously ending up dead. There was definitely the spate of virologists. There was also a couple of years of homeopathic doctors that were also ending up dead. There was one conference in particular where someone had spiked the punch bowl, like literally, and basically threw a bunch of LSD or some other hallucinogenic drug, and like people, like it, yeah, it ended up basically shutting everybody down. On top of people dying, the people who continued speaking out publicly, they got dosed, and then they all retreated because they were like, okay, you know, this is worse than death, basically.
And P.S., by the way, that's a big mind control drug.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Just to tie the Clinton body count onto, I know she said Bush and I said Clinton body count. So also to tie into that, I don't know if you remember whenever Obama was in office, the marathon bombing happened. I think it was in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the two lead investigators just happened to fall out of a helicopter at the same time.
Yes, I do remember
and
that.
And both of them died. So.
Yeah, yeah.
When all of them are shaking hands, but the only one that all of the media and all of the politician, deep stater, swamp, treasonous creatures hate is Trump.
Yep.
Pretty sure that's your guy that you want to go with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just saying.
No, we're on the same page. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%, man. All right. Well, listen, we are just about to close out the show. So do you have anything final for Dr. Lynn?
I hope that you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Keep up the great work, and you guys keep helping to spread the truth. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Freedom Machines.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great night.
You too. Always a good time. See you.
Excellent. All right. We do have another question over here. A couple of questions over on Pilled. Let's see. D Dallad says, hold on. There was another one before that. I wanted to make sure I don't miss anything. Oh, yes. Cat Anonymous says, how do you make your stomach acid to 2? Anything to take? Coffee?
Well, you know, cultures around the world, they do different things. So, for instance, in Korea, they have this vinegar water. They put it in their water and they drink that during when they eat. Or your Indian cuisine, they have like mango lassis. So the milk in that is actually, well, the yogurt, I should say, is lactobacillus, and that makes lactic acid and the right pH in the gut. But betaine hydrochloride, that is a big thing to help make the stomach acid. And also, you know, one of the ways you can also know if you don't have enough stomach acid, so someone said they were on Pepcid, that's what we call an H2 blocker. H stands for histamine, because histamine will be released if you need stomach acid. It helps increase your stomach acid. So you're trying to block it with the Pepcid. But if you sneeze after you eat, or if you start getting congested or red eyes, all the things that you would get like an allergic condition right after you eat, you know that your histamine's trying to produce stomach acid and you don't have enough. That's another way to know.
Okay. And then thank you to Dixie. Thank you to Sean Joe. Sean Joe, thank you for gifting the subscription. I think you gifted multiple subscriptions, so thank you very much. TP picked one up. Joe Elaine picked one up. ATD1204, thank you very much. Thank you to Sean Joe. D. Dallet says, Dr. Lafferty, what's your opinions on fenbendazole for parasites and for cancer treatments?
So we know there's many things, again, it just goes back to the high blood pressure too. I'm sure that parasites do cause cancer, but we know viruses cause cancer. We know that there's chemicals that cause cancer. So the whole thing is not to get in the trap of just the one thing,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it looks like things like, excuse me, like the horse paste.
Ivermectin, yeah.
Ivermectin. It looks like it also kills bacteria and other things.
Yeah.
So, for instance, your plants. The plants kill bacteria, viruses, and fungus and things because guess what? They have to kill it out in nature.
Right.
They have more genes than what we do. Mm-hmm. So they'll kill everything. I told one of my, she's a friend and I also do some CE programs for her. And she told me about her husband. I said, you know, I think he might have an Epstein-Barr virus. She lives in Buffalo. So I said, why don't you go to the doctor and get it checked? And the doctor said, well, I'll check it, but what good is it going to do? There's no cure for it. You know, there's nothing you can give for it. Well, there is, you know, one of the strongest things I just found in a study, I can't wait to use it because I love this product, is olive leaf extract, very highly antiviral. I have a formula I made up for kids. It's half olive leaf extract and half the elderberry. And I grow an olive tree in Florida, which really isn't olives like dry condition, but I don't let it get very wet. I do it under the thing. And it's never going to do olives, but the leaves I can make into tea. Very good for the heart. It's very strong antioxidant, but it also has very strong antiviral properties.
Okay, cool beans. Let's see. TP says, I'm loving the content and the guest tonight. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, TP. Patriot 714 says, does Lynn think that microbial enzymes are worse than rennet during the cheesemaking process?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Good. I don't even know.
Well, listen, they're making meat by bacteria. That I think is disgusting can be, you know, all of that. And there's something wrong with the insulin. They're making that with E. coli to look like human insulin.
Oh, God.
And there's so many people, young people that I've seen with like, they're on renal dialysis with type 1 diabetes. And I never have seen that in my life. And when I was young, it was either from pork or from pig. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a reason, you know, that somehow the animal tissue isn't androgenic, but you're not supposed to take your own tissue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you eat like some of these people we know eat human meat, and yeah, even in LA, there's something called the
Cannibal Club,
yep, right? Yep. But that causes kuru,
yep,
and kuru is just like mad cow disease,
right?
So it's the mad cow disease of humans, and the cows got mad cow because they were chopping up cow pieces and feeding them to the animal, their own selves. So
yes,
there's something that does not do well with our biochemistry by eating our own human self. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's see. Good work, gal. Thank you very much for the cookie. And Anandoc says, another great guest, Zach. Thank you. And then one final from Fredo. He says, as an ethical doctor, what do you think should happen to Fauci? Thinking about Beagle treatments, should he get prison or execution?
I I think he should give what he gets. So
what goes around comes around.
Right. All these people that are clamoring for people to die in war, why don't you go to war? You know, yeah. I think that that's what we start. We have to have the attitude. That's, you want to create that for yourself. Make that your reality, not mine.
There we go. All right. I'm with you on that. All right. So just one final push here for you guys. Go to Dr. Lynn's website, drlynnlafferty.com, and use that code RP7810. You'll get 10% off the classes. She also has the free classes and the free seminars. So please definitely check that out. Lynn, at the end of the show, I always like
to. Can I say one other thing? You can reach me by phone if you hit the contact me button. And you email me, I answer those myself. So I can't give you technical advice. If you want an appointment, you can call the university. I don't make a penny off from supplements or anything. And I really don't make anything from the class because it ends up costing me more in internet people working on the internet than I make. But for me, I'm blessed that I have a good job at the university, and I just try to give as much as I can to people. I just really want people to learn this because there were so many things you had at home. And I believe the biggest thing that killed people in COVID was the fear. I couldn't understand the fear, you know, of it until I watched CNN. Now, I don't watch CNN. I watch the Hallmark Channel and the Food Network. All during COVID, I had to go into work every day. All the other doctors in the medical school, I was in the pharmacy school then, and my boss made me work. But all the other doctors, they went in fear. And it's funny because I was talking to one of my best friends who works at a medical school. I said, you know, that dean at my medical school is so demonic. And she's like, I don't know one of the deans that I've had that wasn't where I'm at. But in the pharmacy school, the dean, you know, she loves Christmas and she treats us like more like a Christian.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting of who they've put in charge of these schools.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I think that there's no coincidences when it comes to that stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're welcome back anytime. So just let me know if you want to come back. We'll make it happen. Everybody in the audience, you will be able to find Lynn's information in the description of the video. It's been there the whole night. If you guys end up linking up with her, I'd love to hear about it later on. And like I said, Lynn, we'll have you back again in the future.
And wait, by the way, wait at least a day. I've got to tell my person on the web to do your code. So wait a day. I'll have that done by tomorrow. Okay.
All right. No problem.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. And everybody at home, thank you for being here. Good luck and God bless. I'll be back Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Yep.
Thanks we'll see for you doing such good work. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll see you guys. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.